The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
We often say we love our on-demand listeners. I was talking with one of those beloved on-demand listeners about a week ago. He was telling me how far behind he was in listening to Issues, etc., which is not a sin, by the way, folks. We really, when we say we love our on-demand listeners, we mean it. People who listen, and they may be 3 weeks, 3 months behind. We have a remedy for those. And one of the things he said was, man, I hear you saying these things, and I hear your guests talking while I'm on the grass, and I want to chime in. I want to say something or respond. And, of course, I'm 3 months behind. That's why we have the Issues, etc. comment line. For our on-demand listeners, and actually for all of our listeners, whether they're responding in real time or 3 months late, it doesn't make any difference. The number for you, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. We do love our on-demand listeners, and when we hear from them on the Issues, etc. comment line, we'd like to bring it on the air and respond as quickly as we possibly can. We begin with a comment about the Willow Creek Association.
Yes, I'm wondering if you had ever considered doing a program on the serious problem of a number of Willow Creek Association members and the LCMS. The LCMS forbids membership to heterodox missionary and tract societies. And I'd like to know if you are going to address the problem. And I'd appreciate if you would relate this. Thank you.
And thank you very much for the comment. Well, first of all, the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is a church in which I am a pastor and a member of that denomination. It's been kind of laid on the landscape of American Lutheranism as one of the more conservative, I would say confessional, Lutheran church bodies in the United States, always to be distinguished from the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. That's the one you read about in the papers that approves of homosexual marriage and homosexual pastors and things like that. That's the distinction that's always being made there. The Willow Creek Association. Willow Creek is a community church in South Barrington, Illinois, Chicagoland. It is a large megachurch. It is very influential. One of the means by which it has been most influential all across denominational lines is the Willow Creek Association. Now, some have said it's a kind of a denomination, a mini denomination in itself. I don't think it is because there are very few doctrinal requirements for belonging to the Willow Creek Association. From the congregation's side, they do want Christian congregations joining. And to my knowledge, they have nothing but Christian congregations in the Willow Creek Association. But it's a large association of congregations. Here's where, and the caller points this out, here is where the problem comes, not from the Willow Creek side, but from the side of, say, in our case, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It is true. The congregations and members of synod, that would be congregations and pastors, are not permitted by their confession, by their vows, and their association with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to associate with what is called heterodox societies. And I think we can say very clearly that especially when it comes to the teaching on the sacraments, that the Willow Creek Association, while it may permit any and every congregation teaching any and every teaching about the sacraments in the Willow Creek Association, what Willow Creek itself teaches, and it is, after all, called the Willow Creek Association, what Willow Creek itself teaches about the sacraments is heterodox. Now, that term heterodox needs to be understood. And the difference that on the sacraments is only symptomatic of a greater difference here, and that is about the nature of man's fall into sin. So I'll get into that in just a second, as briefly as I can. What do they teach? They teach a very low view of the sacraments, that they are outward rites that signify perhaps something going on in the heart of the Christian with regard to baptism. They teach right along the lines of kind of pop American Christianity that baptism is just a sign, a signal that you send to God and to other people that you really do believe in Jesus. They call it a believer's baptism. With regard to the Lord's Supper, no real presence of Christ bodily in the Lord's Supper. And that's a problem, but it is symptomatic of a deeper doctrinal difference, and that is on original sin, that man is in some sense capable of making an approach to God. And this permeates everything Willow Creek does by way of its programs and its teachings and its leadership conferences, based upon the notion that man can move toward God and should be moved and manipulated toward God so that God can do his thing. It's a cooperative view of man's salvation, and it makes it a serious problem for any Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to be a member of the Willow Creek Association. It makes it a very serious problem because that is an association with heterodox teaching, wrong teaching, to put it in a very, very simple form. So to kind of put a nutshell on it, it is important that we have in all our associations as Christians, as individuals and as congregations, that we make them, we can cooperate in externals, that is, feed the poor, soup kitchen, whatever it may be. But when it comes to our doctrinal associations, and I cannot see Willow Creek Association as being anything other than an outward doctrinal association, it needs to be in line with what Scripture teaches. And if you're Lutheran, it's Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, which, by the way, would be rejected by Willow Creek on many, many points.
This is Paul in Milwaukee with more work for Mark Eicher and Issues Etc. regarding the Tuesday, December 7th program on the sources of contemporary church music. For Issues Etc., there could be several programs dealing with the content of the top 25, contrasting them with true confessional Christian expression, often on the same themes of the songs mentioned on the Pearl Harbor Day of Sacred Song. For Mr. Eicher, I respectfully suggest that excluding any motivation for composition and use of these false didactic ditties does not lead to the truth. Maybe the composers see the songs as the way to God and not the way to power and wealth, but each motivation and others should be tested by evidence. To that end, Mr. Eicher and others could find out if good livings are made by contemporary composers, producers, publishers and salesmen, as the Warrens of the world have become millionaires by the printed Pelagian word. The suburban bubble needs to be prepared for the possibility of the war rubbish world of Martin Rinkert. Thanks for listening.
Okay, he raises several concerns there, and I'll deal with as many of them as I can in the 2 minutes that are left to me. First of all, we do have plans to have Leonard Payton join us on the program to do a series of shows on the content of popular praise and worship choruses. That's not difficult to do, so that's taken care of. As to the income of those who make their living off of these things, I don't think that really is a factor here. It may be market motivated. It may be consumer motivated. That's the real concern, is that the content of the songs are shaped by the consumer motivation, the desire to sell music. Not that the music is sold or that it makes people money. I have very little concern about that whatsoever. And that brings me to the third point. It's not as though, in our case, say, Lutheran congregations use songs that come from Lutheran sources only. In fact, I think we should pride ourselves in the fact that we draw from any and every confession under the pale of Christendom, regardless of space and time. We are small c Catholic in that sense. We draw from them. But what do? We take those things that come from, say, non-Lutheran sources or sources from before the days of Lutheranism, and they are run through the wise minds and thoughts and critique of good theologians. Pastors, parish pastors. We don't have committees for these things necessarily, but the wise minds of good biblical confessional theologians work over these things so that if there is non-Lutheran content in something from a non-Lutheran source, it can be made Lutheran. It just means changing a few words sometimes. Sometimes a lot of words, in fact. When we come back, we're going to talk about preaching. Pastor John Berg will be our guest.
If you come, I will answer if you follow.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Do you remember what happened during the huge debate on health care reform when Sarah Palin mentioned death panels? She said bureaucratic death panels would be choosing who gets medical services when money's tight under Obamacare. In many cases, these decisions will determine who lives and who dies. The president and liberal media basically said she was crazy. Last month, during a roundtable discussion on ABC's This Week, Paul Krugman with the New York Times pretty much repeated Governor Palin's prediction, only he thought it would be a good thing. Krugman said, some years down the pike, we're going to get the real solution, which is going to be a combination of death panels and sales taxes. Now the truth comes out. Obamacare must be repealed.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Thank you.